You know, here on the ML Sports Platter, I like to cover a wide range of topics. Even during your team's offseason, there's always a story to break, right? Including free agent signings, coaching changes, draft picks, and more. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know I'm a proud Bonnie. St. Bonaventure University gives its students a solid foundation and has trained many journalists that you know and love from ESPN and other leading media organizations across the globe. Their online Master of Arts in Sports Journalism builds podcasting, interviewing, and research skills needed in a changing media landscape right now. Students learn how to follow high professional standards as they tell nuanced stories about the sports we love. You don't need writing or broadcasting experience to start the program, just simply a passion for the profession. There's no application fee or graduate exam scores to apply, and you can complete the program in less than 2 years. Yes, less than 2 years. Get in touch with an enrollment advisor today at sbujournalism.com to learn how you can become a sports journalist and a Bonnie. That's sbujournalism.com. SBUjournalism.com. BetOnline is your number one source for all things betting in sports. Man, what a time of year, even in the summer. Wait, I thought it was the slow time. Golf, horse racing, baseball, yes, the NFL and college football are right around the corner as well. BetOnline, 25 plus years, trusted online. You can head on over to the website at betonline.ag. You get a 50% welcome bonus with our code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. And don't forget, it's not just an online platform. It's more than just an online betting platform because they focus on the player approach and they have built a reputation on offering clients nothing but the best from cutting-edge technology, enticing promotions, and the latest sports betting odds. And your mobile device, of course, really, really helps you with that as well. Payouts in minutes, fastest in the industry, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environment, online betting at betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, get started today on your mobile device. BetOnline, the game starts here. Back on the ML Sports Platter, it's all brought to you by Stanley Law Offices, Burn Dairy, and our good friends over at CH Insurance. Ask about commercial insurance today with CH Insurance. You can log on to chinsurance.cc. Look who I've brought on to the show. Had him for so long. One of my favorite people. Looking good. The polo shirt, the Central New York background. Big SU fan. One of my favorite people and a tremendous golfer and a great career. It is, of course, our friend Joey Sindelar from the PGA Tour Champions Tour, the million names that they've called it over the last several years. Joey, you look great, man. It's awesome to catch up, pal.
Well, thank you, and I'm feeling even better after that introduction. Holy cow. And you know I feel likewise. I've always loved your astuteness. You will know the answers to whatever questions you throw at me far better than I will, and I love that.
Well, I tell you what, man, we're coming off the U.S. Open, and that's kind of where I wanted to start. Sure. With you, and then we'll get into an update, obviously, with you as well for a lot of the fans and people in Central New York who have followed you, you know, and beyond that. This Pinehurst course, you know, gosh, I mean, you've played it, right? I mean, Pinehurst number two, it's an unbelievable test with the turtleback greens, and you got the native stuff, and you got the greens and all this. You got to have a deep game and a terrific creative short game. That's why probably Bryson rose to the top. You're watching that U.S. Open. And also some of these courses that you've played as well, when you go in with that kind of a test, knowing what you have to overcome, how difficult is it mentally, hole to hole, as you're going? Gosh, what a grind that is through 4 days, Joey.
Yeah, that's you are exactly right. And that's what we've all come to learn, that there's no sense getting mad, even though you can't stop it, because it's just going to keep happening. So you just got to continue to deal with it. And the genius short gamers do a great job. Now, I played before Crenshaw did all the aesthetic improvements, and I'm not clear on the story as to whether he put it back exactly as Ross did it, because although maybe he couldn't because he didn't have the exact drawings, but it's brutal, and it's so much like so many of the courses. I'm friends with a fella named Ron Pritchard, who has restored more Donald Ross courses than anyone. And I asked him one day, and maybe you noticed this, when Donald Ross courses are in the South, they're shaved. The off the greens is shaved. Yeah. Around here, like any of the fantastic ones in Rochester, we have rough around the green so the ball doesn't run off.
It's a Fendera too.
Pardon me?
thinned air, I think, a little too, some of the rough, right?
Yes, for sure.
The Adirondacks. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's a different kind of torture, but I thought, why? And he said it had to do with maintenance of the grass and all that stuff. But I mean, it is the drive. They kept saying the fairways were wide. I don't know that they looked wide. And, you know, they never feel as wide as they are when just off from them can be unplayable. You know, that kind of shrinks the mentality a little bit when you're standing on the tee. You know, when the guys on the tour drive it as well as they do today, the training they have, the equipment, you know, the golf balls that go out and come straight down, you know, I'm not trying to say we were walking up and down, you know, uphill both ways to school or anything like that on the golf course, but you know, we kind of played golf balls that kind of kept on going, at least seemingly. And we got the benefit in later years of balls that kind of correct and come straight down. But when I know that these guys are so good with their driver and they're still flailing it out on the stuff all day long, oh my gosh. And then it multiplies from there. So we saw it. We saw it in full bloom.
One thing that I've been thinking a lot about the last couple of days is what's the most frustrating thing as a golfer? You know, it doesn't matter if you're the best player in the world, or you're on the Champions Tour, or you're, you know, an embarrassing player like myself. You know, I was out there yesterday and I had a couple of bad ones, right? I had a bad shot. I didn't follow through the drive. Then I had tried to blade up and I'm trying to save it and I'm scrambling. I chip up, rolls over the green. Then I go back over the green and I'm going myself, this is kind of crazy and embarrassing. But then by the same token, a professional can also do that in their world. I mean, Tony Finau on Saturday, he didn't chip up to get that triple. He putts it, goes across the turtle back, then he comes back down out of the sand, off the sand, goes back up, and he triple bogey. So for all of the golf, like, we're in our own worlds. I mean, I would never be able to go play a Pinehurst 2 and shoot well, but for what's hard for me is a couple holes at a Camillus or a couple holes at a Timber Banks or wherever that I might play, or a Ravenwood out in Rochester or wherever. You know, we have our own ways of the difficult parts of the game. For you, what's the most frustrating thing for you when you play? Is it when you don't follow through on a swing and you don't give it a chance? Is it three putting? You know, the old Hank Haney, right? How do you get rid of strokes, right? Get rid of the three putts and the double bogeys and stuff. Yeah. Is it a bad sand shot? Is it when you have a wedge game that's not going well? What's the most frustrating? Because we know this past weekend, it probably for Rory was the putts, man. Those were brutal.
Well, I'll start with the last one first. I disagree with what I heard spoken on TV. I thought the putt he hit on 18 was a perfect putt. At least it was right where he aimed it and the speed was good. They said, I don't know if it was Brandel or who it was, said, well, the pressure of the thing got to, and I'm like, He gave it more break than they called for.
Totally.
And he hit it right where he was aiming, and the speed was perfect. I mean, totally. It missed. And you can look at shot link and see the make percentage from 4.5 feet or whatever it was.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, come on. It was a good putt that didn't work. Now, the little one, you know, at every level, any tour player has missed that length of putt. I wish we could have heard Rory say, nope, it's on me. I hit a bad putt. I decelled, shut down, and pulled it or pushed. I forgot which side he missed it on. Or, you know, that's new Bermuda grass. And Bermuda grass is more like, for those who haven't been on it, you know, we're lucky here in the north. The grass, the bent grass is so soft and tender that the ball doesn't squirt around much when you're putting it. But Bermuda grass is more bristly, like an AstroTurf. I mean, not that bad, but similar to that. And the ball does scoot sometimes. And on those close-ups, you saw the ball chattering on those greens, even though you didn't see it from the way back level, when they were down and close, you could see it. So I wish we knew. And then he missed one other one coming in. But again, these are putts, you know, most tour, if there were a gaggle of tour players in the locker room sitting together, watching what happened, when those putts went from this and all of a sudden they become this, there would be a chorus of, whoa, you don't want that. You know,
right.
Well, guys don't say that because they make 99 out of 100. They know that those are, you know, especially on greens you don't know. That's another component to a U.S. Open, because you only go there once in a while, once every 10 years or 25 in this case. The guys don't know the subtleties like they would at Augusta. Like, I know this putt. I've putted this putt for the last 15 years. At the Open, you're playing it once or at the most three times in a lifetime, generally at any U.S. Open venue. So there's no history and comfort level there. So a lot going on. Back to your question about my, you know, I would not be a great candidate there. I was not at the time, I was not the greatest driver of the golf ball. I was better when I was at the end, the best I would be. But chipping needed to be premier, and you saw it. You saw Rory hit great ones. You saw Bryson hit great ones. And when the golf course is doing this to you all day long, you better know how to chip that ball. And that was never my strength. So I might have been crying for mama right from the first day.
I said we were going to go about 8 to 10 minutes with you on a text, but we're already at 8, and I can never go 8 minutes with Joey Sindel.
I'm not worried. This is fun.
There's just no way. So we'll hop around 15 or so, if that's okay. Yeah. Joey Sindel with us. I have one more before we get to really getting a big, big update on you, because it's on the top of my mind. I got to ask it coming off what you just said. With what happened to Rory, I mean, 3 of the last 4 holes, he bogeys. He bogeys 15. He misses the 2.5-footer on 16. He misses the 4-footer on 18. He bolts away from the media, doesn't talk, doesn't shake the hand with Bryson. And it's a brutal, brutal loss. I mean, we've seen him before. We've seen Norman. We've seen Vanderbilt. We've seen Scott Norwood in football. We've seen so many bad, brutal losses. As a golfer, though, when you see, and I know these guys are making millions and millions of dollars, and sports fans, it's easy to, for them to go on social media, go, oh, I don't feel bad. They're making millions. That's not what it's about. It's about winning. They're in it to win it as well. They want to be champions and the best in the game. Joey, you know what it's like to compete, you know, on the biggest of stages. You know this. Have you ever felt bad for a golfer? Like Nicholas was the greatest major winner. He was also the best second place guy, right? There's been times when the greatest have had awful, awful, bad losses. Guys who could have 4 or 5 majors only have one. Guys who should have one don't have any. Have you ever felt bad in your career, or have people felt bad for you? Is there that feeling of, man, I feel bad for that guy, even though I'm trying to compete against him? Do you ever feel that way?
If you're talking about me on the course, like if I'm Bryson against Rory, probably don't feel it at that moment, you know, because you want to win and it's all about you. But me as a spectator on the weekend on the TV, that hurts. You know, you'd rather see it. I would rather see it. Somebody birdie in the last four rather than, you know, a little bit of upset or missing one. You know, again, the putt Rory had on 18, it's, if I'm thinking of it correctly, it's downhill. It's sliding to the right. You know, it's not that far removed that he was having some putting struggles, although his stroke looked great. You know, so yes, you don't want to see the train wreck, no matter who you're rooting for sure.
Well, it was weird because Rory was draining everything until 15. He had a 2-stroke lead at 8-under on the 15th tee with 4 holes. You're like, okay, he's going to break this 10-year drought. By the way, he's been playing great for about 1.5 years. So you could see it coming. We'll see if he can recover. All right. Joey Sindelar is with us here on the ML Sports Platter. It's all brought to you by Ken's Auto Detailing and Barks and Rec Doggy Daycare. Give everybody an update on you, man. I mean, how's your year going? What's next? And maybe beyond here, it's almost July already. So let us all have the Joey Sindelar update.
Well, you're kind to ask, Mike. Thanks. It's been so fun to be home. I stopped playing the tour. I didn't play any last year. Haven't even touched a club since the Syracuse basketball outing last fall, which was complete joy for me. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
my big loves are... I'm a homebody, so of course, being home more, Syracuse sports, football, basketball, I just totally, totally love it. Got a really fun new job venture that just puts a smile on my face every day. I love fishing on Cayuga Lake. I'm a bass boat guy, so I love smallmouth and largemouth. I'm learning a new lake, and it's much bigger and very deep, and they're very good at hiding from me. So I need to rectify that. But it's been a blast. I'll be part of the Dick's Sporting Goods festivities. Was at a wonderful party last night. Pairings party tonight for the pro-ams, and go down and just say hi to some people and have some fun down through the week.
So this is it? I mean, you know, you said off the tour and everything. I mean, this is
done. And the reason is this: I have two kinds of arthritis. The first, typical stenosis, L4, L5, had surgery back in 12. And that's when I had to change my swing. My swing was quirky because I had the tilt to the right, and it just clearly layered up bone and caused problems. And successful surgery, but not good enough to keep swinging the odd way that I would prefer to swing. Okay. Tried to change it, and I was good enough to be functional. But then this other kind of arthritis called dish hit me. And that's really just, it's an acronym, D-I-S-H, and it's really just a calcification of ligaments. So my swing got smaller. I lost my range of motion, and it wasn't sudden. You know, Amanda and I worked on it. My wife, Amanda, is an extraordinary physical therapist and way into sports. And we worked hard at it for at least two full seasons, knowing that it was smacking me. And I just couldn't get to the point where I could leverage a five iron out of a divot or something like that. But worse than that, like if there were two or three groups on a par five, you know, waiting, I couldn't loosen up at the end of 15 minutes. I would lock up, or if a cold front came through during the round, it was like, forget it. So, and then, you know, a lot of people would say, you're going to play for fun. But, you know, when your driver goes 25 yards shorter than it used to and your clubs don't fit you anymore, I'd rather go fishing.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you're ever embarrassed about, you know, that length, or you can always play with a schlub like me. You can still be like, oh, I'm still always going to be better than a Mike Lindsley out there. You know,
no, Mike, we are all schlubs. Golf, you saw it over the weekend. Oh. Golf will smack anybody at any time.
It will.
What Finau did on that green you were talking about earlier, that was my opening hole at Augusta, my first time. Yeah. I missed the first green to the left. It kicked way over there. I putted it up over and three putted for a double, luckily not a triple. And, you know, talk about a broken heart. So all of us have felt that.
I remember that story, actually. One of the first times I had you on, you told me about that hole. So I retired golfer then. This is golfing great Joey Sindelar then. No more. This is it. You're done.
Done. Yeah. Cheering for both my boys, of course. Jamie is chasing the mini tour thing and really doing great. And so I keep my nose in it that way. But, you know, and we were, you know, 40 years of the greatest traveling circus ever. We were the clowns, you know, and in the infrastructure at all. It was just like a circus, and missing a lot of friends and missing the competition, but it's just not possible right now.
Well, you also played, obviously, on the PGA Tour, 7 tournament wins, I believe, from 85 to 2004. So you had some great, great wins, and you had some awesome finishes in the majors as well. I mean, I know you're retired, but if you had one course to play, you know, the one final round of golf for the rest of your life, on what course would you pick?
Soaring Eagles and Horseheads.
Okay.
Yeah, believe it or not. Well, really? Number one,
right at
of
home.
Course it's home, and it's where I grew up and had my entire childhood with Mike Hulbert and where I learned the game. But it is a stunning golf course. There's a couple of greens with today's green speeds that are a little too slope, but it is a magnificent golf course. And it would be with my two boys, Jamie and Ryan, and my dad. You know, it's so for a million reasons, it would be right there.
I've never played that course. I'd love to.
You got to do it. It's awesome. And it's a state park. It's open to anybody.
Sure. Yeah. So in closing, you mentioned your orange and blue and your crazy fandom for SU sports. I got to tell you, I worked a ton of games up there this year, football, basketball, women's basketball, for ESPN, doing my freelance thing. And there's an energy up there, man, on the hill right now with Coach Jack, Fran Brown, and Adrian Autry. I know you feel that as a fan. I've talked to a ton of people about it. I've had Red on, obviously. I don't know if you caught that interview, but I got to send it to you from way back during the season. And I'm just loving watching the energy, and we're close to football season. And maybe you could just kind of, in closing here, give me your overall state of the union, you know, as a super fan, and how you feel about these teams, because I'm sure that energy is penetrating your way.
For sure. No doubt about that. And for me, of course, it started with basketball when I met Coach Boeheim at the Ithaca Best Ball at 17 years old. And Mike Hulbert and I were partners against him and his partner. And we had a great time, became friends. I think it was the year before he became head coach.
Yes. Yeah, right in there. 75, 76-ish.
Yeah. Right in there. Yeah. So love affair from that point forward. And of course, he exploded the program from that, you know, especially on the road. You know, when it's home, he was so busy. But on the road, if I was in Florida warming up, we'd go grab a dinner somewhere. And I got to meet Coach Griffin, Coach Autry, you know, the team. And so I knew Coach Autry a little bit and have hung around with him a couple times and just love him. What a guy. And he's bringing in people, and they played. I mean, I thought they played hard, and I can't wait. I just can't wait for that. And football, holy, out of control. And as a Buckeye, I went to Ohio State, and to have Kyle McCord migrate from there to here. I mean, I've got big smiles all the way around the block. I can't wait. I'm season ticket holder. I found out on the repurchase, I'm like number 450, and I'm going to get my seats right on the front rail, and I'm going to be staring right at the whole both sports, the whole darn thing.
It's amazing, because every single second you were waiting and waiting and waiting for another, you know, news drop, another recruit, another five-star, a four-star. And it was like, you know, people say, oh, wait till you see this guy, he can recruit. That didn't even do it justice. I mean, every single second, there's another five-star, an SEC guy, this guy, that guy. You know, they're doing this, they're doing all these dinners and things up at the Dome, and then two kids tweet something, and then four more kids come, and McCord comes, and this and that. And you're like, this is Syracuse football still, right? Yeah. I'm checking. I just want to make sure we're like not living in a dream world here.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You're right. They were really big statements, and they ended up being really small statements because he exceeded all the way around the block. And you know, this latest kid that's the fastest in New Jersey. I mean, come on, it just keeps happening. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool too what he's been doing in the community. I'm sure you saw where he pulled over and started playing pickup football game with some of the frat guys on campus. And then
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then he was picking up garbage at a basketball game this year, you know, like
saw that. Love it. So
he's a grinder, he's a worker, man. Joey Sindelar, this was amazing. I wasn't quite sure on the retirement thing. I didn't know, you know, there wasn't kind of a splash headline out there, so I apologize on that. But definitely it looks like you're enjoying life. It's amazing how many people fish. I don't fish. Hey, you chose the two most patient sports, golf and fishing, huh?
I seem to have a knack for that.
I'm reading a biography on Jim Thorpe right now, and fishing and hunting were his two favorite things, actually. Football and baseball weren't even. The Olympic stuff wasn't.
How about that?
Yeah, fishing and hunting. But anyway, hey, look, congrats on an unbelievable career. Congrats on retirement. Good luck on the fishing scene, and hopefully I'll see you at the Dome. We still got to get that lunch together. Joey Sindelar, I've had you on for years, and I can't thank you enough. I am proud more than anything to call you a friend, so thanks so much for jumping on, man.
Likewise. Thank you. I look forward to next time. You know,
at CH Insurance, your family is our family. We take pride in protecting you, your loved ones, and the things that matter most with the best personal coverage at the best premium. From home and auto insurance to boat, motorcycle, renter's insurance, CH finds the exact coverage you need without breaking the bank.
They believe in their community and care about those they do business with. I have both personal and business policies with CH, and there's never a doubt they're in my corner.
CH Insurance, in your corner, every day, every way.